We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest here this morning.
He's back.
Kanye West.
What's up?
I didn't think it was going to happen. I bet I said Kanye's not going to come back up here. I thought it was a wrap.
No, I'm coming back every time.
Well, let me start with some positivity, man. I think Only One and Wolves are dope records.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I think they're really dope tunes.
Yeah.
Wow, this is starting way different than the last one.
But I don't like 4 or 5 seconds, and that's why did you do that on the Grammy?
I do like 4 or 5 seconds, though.
We love that song.
I don't like the auto-tune when you sing, but I like 4 or 5 seconds.
I don't like auto-tune either, but I need it.
Really? Why? I mean, I hear people say that. Why, though?
Because I could do, I can, like, bend my voice in other ways. Like, at the end of Runaway and everything, I like to do that.
Got you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you for inviting me to the fashion show as well.
Oh, yeah.
We thought it was a setup, and he was going to walk in.
Thought it was a setup. He said he's going to get beat up in there. It's gonna be he's going to get jumped. But no, it wasn't.
I felt like it was only right. You came here. You know what I'm saying? He threw all the slander, so why wouldn't I come to the fashion show?
Yeah.
But you put him next to Drake, which was kind of awkward.
He didn't put me next to Drake.
Oh, they put you next to Drake.
I went to stand in the back, and Drake happened to be back there.
That's kind of awkward.
Yes.
Now let's talk about your shoes that just released. Yeezy Boost.
Yeah, I heard y'all don't like those.
No, not y'all. I said that I actually have a pair of shoes that look like similar to them, and I like them.
That's not a good thing when a girl has shoes that look like men's shoes. But I like the black colorway. The gray colorway, when I first saw them, they looked like a paper mache project. But the black ones look tough.
Yeah, we're coming with the black ones real soon.
But that is a big accomplishment for you. You put that out. Limited run first, right? Sold out. And now people are buying them online for over
$1,500.
$1,500
for them?
Yeah. I didn't want them to be limited, actually. That's something that the company did. I really want as many people to get them as possible. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the price to be $350. I don't want to play this like sneaker culture game and all this so they be reselling them for high prices and stuff. I just want people just have what I made. Mm-hmm. Like, ain't no limited release of the college dropout, you know, a limited release of graduation, you know. And I think in clothing right now, it's a real separatism, you know, like it's $5,000 sweatshirts and all, everybody spending that money to try to show up in the club and act like they, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like we need to spend that money on our families and stuff. Mm-hmm. So my point of what I'm doing in clothing right now is I'm going and taking the talent. Like, I just came from the Ralph show and I was talking to Ralph and I was like, man, I need your help, you know, because you know how to make clothes. And I think I know what, you know, my generation wants, but it's very difficult, you know, if you don't have that production and that experience like what Ralph has. And it's really difficult to get those price points like the Zara and H&M price points if you don't got the factories, if you don't got the boats and stuff. I mean, I talked about this before.
So why is it 350? Like, because it's hard to manufacture?
I have no idea. They just priced it that. I think that they just, you know what? I think their logic was they didn't want it to go from the other company and go to Adidas and they'd be like, man, why they drop the price?
Shoes.
Yeah, because sometimes the public won't always understand the transition. Mm-hmm. You know, like Steve Jobs always had the iPad in his head, but he couldn't do it coming from a keyboard and a floppy disk to the iPad. You know, you had to walk people into this.
I thought the whole idea with you going to Adidas is you had more control and it was your
over price points and stuff
and you
like
could
this.
Do everything.
Yeah, I do have a lot more. At least I could do something, you know. But any relationship that starts off, you ain't gonna have all the control,
right?
You know what I'm saying? It's a marriage. Usually, the first year of any situation is the toughest, and then when you guys start to communicate, you know, it could be powerful.
Now, explain the sneaker a little bit, because I'm a sneakerhead. I have tons of sneakers, and I assumed it to be like, I don't like to compare, but the other sneakers that you released, they were leather. They were more of a sneaker. Like, you could ball out in the other sneakers. This one, I don't think I could play basketball.
You actually could play basketball on this one better than the other ones. Because first of all, it's got Boost, which is the best technology. And I'm not just saying that contractually with Adidas. I'm saying that for someone who goes to the gym. And if I wear, like, my, you know, Boost, I feel better because I have problems with the back of my Achilles from performing so much. And it actually...
No, I did say fat girls with cankles look like it'd be comfortable for them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm working on it. People joke that they look sort of like the Uggs, right? Mm-hmm. But what's so bugged out is I'm really working on trying to make a sexier Ugg. Because you see Uggs all the time.
They are comfortable.
Yeah. And I see, you know, I see stuff from the future, and I'm always like, I'm such a like a futurist that I have to like slow down and talk in the present, you know. And this was a proposition to where I think shoes will go. I think the color palettes, all this, the red over here and the 30 different colors away and the Black History Month version and all that, I think that's going to be out of there in the future. This is for me, as, you know, humbly, I would say I'm the most influential person in footwear right now.
There's no way to humbly say that, sir.
Truthfully,
okay,
I'm the most influential person in footwear. So,
Jordan,
when it comes those are re-releases, but when it comes to new sneakers, I think he is absolutely.
Now, how hard is it to get that balance between wanting to get something that people can afford, but then also wanting to use those materials and make things really special? You know, things that make you more creative.
Yeah, those materials is all a game that the factories play too. You know, if silk is in style, silk is more expensive from the factories. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get everything for a better price. It's all in like how you, you know, how you negotiate with the factories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my end goal 10 years from now will be to have everything at a Zara level. Like, I think Steve made it where phones wasn't a show of class anymore. You know, you had the Virtu phone, you bust a $4,000 phone, you felt like you was better than somebody. And I
don't understand this rich talk at all.
Yeah, you know.
I thought you were talking about Nike phone posits when you said phones.
Yeah, with the phone, I'm talking about the Virtu phone.
Phone.
Yeah,
phone. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not that clear speaker. You know, I had this car accident and everything, and it's just ever since then I've been like a mumble mouth. So, but what I'm saying is, you know, right now people will try to put on a jacket to try to act like they better than you, you know, and I think this idea of being better than the next man is just, it's the wrong mentality in the first place. Like, we were... You know, we were born into a broken world that's been separated by race, religion, and class. You know,
but you confuse me when you say stuff like that, though, because you do act like you're better than people sometimes.
No,
like the Grammys is a great example. When you get up and you tell everybody to respect the artistry, but it's like you're not respecting the art.
Yeah, that, give you donkey today again too.
Yeah, and I deserved it, man. Mm-hmm. That was completely hypocritical. And you know, I was the other. I'm gonna go ahead, you know, tell y'all like the other day, like. I went to dinner and sat down with Taylor Swift, right? And ironically, they were like playing the Beck album. And
ironically, or you think they did that on purpose?
No, maybe they did it on purpose so I could finally hear it. I was like, man.
So you hadn't even heard it when you did the Grammy?
I was like,
rant?
Man, this is like kind of good. I ain't even gonna lie.
You hadn't even heard the Beck album when you did the rant.
Nah, I hadn't even heard it, man. Yeah. I just
you do that all the time, Charmin. You do that all the time.
But
you say somebody's whack without hearing the album.
No, that's not true. What did I say? I said I can't even say if Beck didn't deserve it because I didn't hear it.
And that was an argument that we had because I was like, well, Kanye might not even know. A lot of people had never heard Beck, and I said I never heard it. So, but people were saying, no, I'm sure he heard it. He had to have heard it to say that.
You know what? I bet you that album is really good. You know, I'm gonna listen to the album. Maybe it was potentially an album of the year, but the Grammys are still, they have a commercial component to it. Mm-hmm. And they want to sell commercials, you know? So if they have, you know, these big superstars sitting in the audience and advertise that they upcoming next perform, and that's what they're trying to do to get those views. Mm-hmm. You don't have these people sitting here and then, you know, have them like their hearts beating and stuff. We work too hard to deal with all that. Man, we ain't got no time for, you know, be like losing in a situation where because who's winning? We ain't getting none of that advertising money. Mm-hmm. You know, don't play with us. You know, that's what my main point is. But,
why do these big superstars go where they're tolerated? Like people like yourself, you go, you're tolerated, but not celebrated. Like when it comes to like the Soul Train Awards or BET Hip Hop Awards, BET Awards, you hear Kanye won, but Kanye's not here to accept this award on the map.
That's why we need to support the people that support us, and not just particularly just a black thing. We always say, you know, it's a it's black show, this, that. But, you know, it just needs to be, you know, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. I ain't got the answers of how to change the voting system. I ain't got the answers to, you know, how to make it where everyone is honored in the proper way. And sometimes maybe it's two people that should win. You know, who's to say who should win? But I think it'd be a class thing, too, because everybody, people, are, you know, it carries more weight if you win a Grammy than if you win a BET Award.
Right.
So we still go.
Says who, though?
Says society. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is about. This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice of society. Mm-hmm. This is the voice of, I say, the barbershop. This is the voice of the streets. And this is, Grammys is it's a statement of class and stuff. Like you go to my house, I'm gonna hit the stump button for a second. You see my 21 Grammys laid out that, you know, mm-hmm. my wife forced me to take out of the bathroom and put in one place.
That's why it's interesting to hear you, you know, get at the Grammys, because you could be selfish and say, well, I got 21, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think I deserve more, but I you know, it's all, like I said, we was born into a world that's separated by class and race and religion. Mm-hmm. So class is one of the things that people want. You want to be upper class. You want to be first class. But in a plane crash, everybody dead.
Right.
It ain't no class then. It's just a whole crash. You know, some of the things when I first came up with the idea, Donda, and I was tweeting out all these ideas, airplane design, this design, this design. Like, you know, you see, of course, like me, and you know, Kim, we can take private, but you know, we really, you know, we wanna be in the airport. We wanna be next to the people. I get inspiration when I see what people are wearing. I get inspiration when I see what people are going through. When people are like walking a line slower, or getting patted down, or whatever. That's, you know, I gotta tell you this one story about class. I was going to London where I'm going tonight. And I was in the first class line, and it was real crowded. And I looked over at the coach line for customs, and it was completely empty. We went over to the coach line and got through right away. Mm-hmm. And everybody was sitting there with their Hermes belts and their big hats. They didn't want to lower their class mm-hmm. in order to, like, get through faster mm-hmm. when time is the only luxury.
Right.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of stuff that I've been learning over the past couple of years. And I use my money and my position and my relationships to learn about class. But my approach, I think, is a bit more Robin Hood now.
It's more ghetto. You still, even though you're getting up in class, it's still ratchet.
Yeah, I guess. Ghetto was fun. I mean, I'm from Chicago. Mm-hmm. My wife got a big ass. You know what I'm saying? We stay ghetto.
Did you reach out to Beck after, though? Did you reach out to Beck after you heard his album? Like, maybe I slipped up a little bit, or maybe I went too far.
Yes, I got his number, and I was supposed to call, but I just keep forgetting.
Wait, you did not forget.
Hey, don't
you just don't know what to say.
Don't feel bad, because we didn't know. I thought Beck was a bit until you jumped on
He was very humble about it, though, because he agreed. He was like, yeah, I mean, it's Beyonce should have won. It wasn't like he disagreed with you. But I felt bad for him. You know?
No, I felt good for him because think of all the good stuff that happened to me, you know, the past, you know, 7 days, 8 days. The person that won the most was Beck, because if I hadn't done that, his album of the year would have never been mentioned. Now it's in all the chatter. Kanye West messes up again. Kanye West is a donkey of the day. You know, I'm already the enemy, so you can't get no worse than the villain.
It
know?
Has to be hard to win an award and then have all these people saying you shouldn't have won, and the Beehive going in and leaving negative, nasty comments and saying how terrible he is.
Well, it's all subjective, though.
Yeah, it is all subjective, but...
But, you know, he should win an award for what he did, rock album or something like that, but he shouldn't have won that award, in my opinion. But who am I to have an opinion?
You're know? Kanye West.
Exactly.
If you don't respect it, then it's not to be respected. But listen, one thing we always ask in the barbershop, why is Kanye always caping for Beyonce? I love Beyonce. I'm a Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter, but it seems like you're always coming to her aid. And nobody, Beyonce don't need no caping. She's Beyonce.
I know. It's really ironic that every time it's Beyonce for some reason. It's like, why is it Beyonce? Why don't I go off on like, you know, whoever going off on my wife on Twitter and shit like that. You know, why do I cater, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, I think Beyonce is a great representation of an artist working hard and trying her best and getting the results from it. You know, so say Beyonce's previous album wasn't as well received as this new album. And she got low, like I got low on my new album, and delivered something that everybody loved. And if you... In America, if we want, we have to respect greatness when we see it, and we can't smack it in the face at the cost of some vote splitting, at the cost of like blowing somebody up that could sell some T-shirts. If you see something that's great, you got to respect it. I remember I was trying to get on a basketball team in eighth grade. I hit every free throw, hit every layup, and I looked at the list, and I wasn't on the list. Mm-hmm. And then the coach just gave me the Kanye shrug. Now, you know the basketball team at grammar school, you know, you know that's like the best thing because you get to leave school.
You know, say half the year. Get all the chicks.
Yeah, you on a basketball team. We had a small gym where, like, you were running to the Broadway stage, like, you hit a layup and stuff like but.
So hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
Somebody, Kanye, I'm going to let you finish, but you're not going to make this basketball team.
Yeah, no, my point is you're not going to have somebody hit all the shots and you not give them that credit. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of times Beyonce, exactly what you said. You said Beyonce don't need no help. People look at Beyonce because she's rich, respect the hove, she's a beautiful woman. She's talented. And so they figure she's got everything, so you don't even need nothing else. Mm-hmm. But I think she needs the proper accolades because she's an inspiration. So,
she got 20 Grammys, 21, 20?
Not album of the year, I guess.
You know. I thought she did win that one when she won that 5 Day Year.
And now I don't think she's ever won an album of the year Grammy.
Okay.
And I don't know. And this is funny because Taylor was talking to me about this. She was saying that, you know, when she was the victim, she won every award. And now that she's powerful and the biggest selling artist, now she's not winning awards anymore. Because they like, what do you need? It's once again, it's that moment where the rich people are line is getting clogged up because it's a practical joke that everybody in the airport, you know, are playing on rich people. As they should, because us as rich people, our focus shouldn't be on how we get a new Phantom, how we get a bigger house. Our focus should be on how do we help the middle to the lower class to have a better life. And I think that we get distracted with, you know, luxury, so-called luxury goods, so-called luxury cars. Like, and I embrace this. Anytime a rich person gets the piss taken out of them, it's cool. You know what I mean? I mean, don't do it to me all the time and stuff. But
you know, that's how we always felt about you, because you always used to speak up. Like when you said George Bush don't care about black people, you were speaking up for the have-nots. But now it seems like you were just fighting for the civil rights of rich people lately.
The civil rights of rich people.
Yeah, I think it's the rights of everyone. You know, and another thing that I used to get really caught up on was with race. Mm-hmm. You know, with race, it's like, okay, we know. We know it's racist people. You know, we know that a lot of white men over the age of 60 are racist. We embrace that. You know, we know that a lot of people that are in power, you know, don't really, you know, they're like Donald Sterling. We understand that. We know that. But the world is moving. You know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, every person of color or female or any minority that comes into power will eventually shift it. You know, you got the ozone layer, you got all this stuff. You see 100 years from now, the entire world might be black just to even survive on the earth, period. You know?
Right. Now, you mentioned, you know, you stood up for Beyonce. People ask, you know, you stand up for Beyonce, you stand up for more than maybe you stand up for your own wife. Recently, people been going at your wife crazy. Yeah. From the paper magazine cover, they was like, well, why would she do that? She has money. Is it just for fame? Is it just for Instagram? Is it just for attention? You know, even Amber Rose came on the program a couple of days ago and
said she was fake.
Said your wife was fake. How do you reply to all these people? And what do you say to everybody? Because even with us, when we seen her on the cover, it was kind of like, you know, Kim is filthy. You know, she has a child. She has a family. Why would she do that cover?
Which question? You, okay,
let's do the
cover first.
Seven questions.
Let's do the paper magazine.
One of the things of breaking class is respected art can break class. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that shut up a lot of people is the fact that John Paul Gould took the photograph that used to shoot Grace Jones.
Right.
And Grace Jones' figure, physique, was as new and different as Kim's physique was. And, you know, our position of power, we're not going to accept the physique that was given to us, you know, that was told to us was the proper, you know, way to look. You know, my daughter has a chance of being shaped like my wife. So until she, between this age and to the age where she's like that, I'm going to be fighting for that shape to be considered the highest of class, or not the highest of class, at least equal to what someone looks at like a skinny model for. My first introduction, one of my first introductions to beauty was the Helmut Newton book, this really big book. And every woman in it was naked. This is a straight photographer. He did Playboy and he'll do Saint Laurent ads and the highest level taste. And I was really drawn to the beauty of the way the photographs are set up and to the fact that I was attracted to the women also. Mm-hmm. I liked the two things at once. Mm-hmm. I like the physical attraction and I like the way the shot was set up. Mm-hmm. I think that with my wife, you know, it had been a lot of times earlier in her career where, you know, she didn't have the access to that level of photographer. Of course, he's passed away now. Mm-hmm. So now that she has the access to John Paul Gould, to Stephen Klein, to Merton Marcus, I can name all the really high level, Jackie Nicholson, all the high level photographers now. You know, it's important for her to stand, I think, for her to stand up, you know, in all of her glory and all her power. You know, her power is in her body, is in her nudity. Her power is in her mind. Her power is in her family. But body is one of the powers.
What happens when she gets older, though?
Well, she's going to always have that body, but she's going to have mind, family, and she's going to create a legacy.
But you know, you name all those brands and stuff, but the hood don't know that. So the hood is like, Kanye, just tell your wife she don't got to get naked no more.
But she could get naked if she wants to. It's not illegal to get naked. And, you know, and then you think about this. Like, if Adam had never ate the apple, we'd all be naked. So
you hit us with that last time. I still have not understood that one.
But let me ask you this.
I've been trying to figure that one out for 2 years.
Do you feel compelled to reach out to Amber Rose, being that that's your ex-girlfriend, and saying, listen, just calm it down, leave my wife alone, and just chill out?
She's just soaking in the moment. Nobody feel compelled to do nothing. If Kim had, like, dated me when I first wanted to be with her, it wouldn't be an Amber Rose. You know what I'm saying? Like.
So it's your fault, Kim. It's your fault. I collared at you before.
But Amber said Kim was sending you naked pictures while y'all were together, though.
I wish. I would have gladly, happily have liked to. She didn't. Why? Because, by the way, it's like it's very hard for a woman to, you know, want to be with someone that's with Amber Rose. So she wasn't sending nothing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to take 30 showers before I got with Kim, you know what I mean?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Please wait.
But
no,
I mean,
don't ask me no more. See, I just want to be respectful,
all
right, man.
All right. Let's pass on Amber. All right.
Listen, I saw you say, I was watching something on TV just now, and they were saying that you said fashion lines didn't want to deal with you because you was married to a reality show star. Just on a business level, because personally we could tell you're happy. On a business level, do you feel the Kardashian brand has hurt Kanye West brand?
No, it's helped because it just showed like my ability to bring Mos Def into the studio with Jay-Z. My ability to bridge the gap, to bridge, you know, somebody sitting over this lunch table. They the fashion world, they all they cool and stuff. Somebody sitting over this lunch table, they're celebrity and they have a perception about that. And, you know, I showed people the power of what happens when you work together. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, Kim can sell a dress faster than any magazine cover.
And you got her on the cover of Vogue, which is something that we never thought was going to happen, the way that Anna Wintour felt and how she had expressed that in the past.
What did she say? She said something today, right? Or earlier today?
Oh, about bringing Northwest to the fashion shows. That was alleged, though. Yeah. They said allegedly she was saying that's not the proper place for a child, you know?
Yeah, I can't speak on alleged comments. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Does it bother you when you see the news and they like, Northwest was crying at the fashion show? I mean, she's a baby. That's what babies do.
And she's at her daddy's fashion show, which makes sense. I mean, I would think you would want your daughter front row at your fashion show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, think about it. No one could tell me where to have my child in that, you know?
I got four of them. They cry. No, you can't tell them when to cry, when not to cry. They going to cry.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Dame Dash at the BET Awards, BET Honors. Why'd you let him present you with that award?
Because he presented me to the world. You know, I wouldn't have a record deal if it wasn't for Dame Dash.
How was that first conversation? Because at one time, he hated you. I ain't going to say he hated
you. I don't think he hated you. He felt you weren't loyal to him, right. I think.
And I wasn't. And this was an extremely visionary move on my part to move with to roll with Jay-Z.
it was smart.
Did you tell Dame that? I mean, if he's the one that believed in you, then why does Hov get the credit in the Big Brother records?
I mean, I mentioned Dame a lot in raps, but, you know, the story's not done. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes... It's been moments where, like, I was wilding out, you know, blah, 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 and Jay would be like, okay, yeah, you just got to sit this down right now, sit these couple plays out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the moment when, you know, Rockefeller split. It made more sense for me career-wise to roll with Jay, even though Dame had supported me. Yeah, supported me. Mm-hmm. And then I wonder, I say, where would we be, you know, if I roll with Dame? Would I have been more successful? Would I have been less successful? I can't say. But at that time, I came to Rockefeller because Jay-Z was my idol.
Right.
And it would have been very hard for me, you know, at that young state where I was to separate from my idol. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the decision I made at there. And do I say that there was some disloyalty in that? Yeah, I own up to that. Is it anything that me and Dame could do together now to make money? I think so. Well,
you
I
got
do
a film
it.
Company, right?
Yeah, we're gonna work on films, and actually, I really like the films that he's doing. He had all type of ideas in there. Like Dame is like the original person who understood culture and really was in it. In every situation, would go and, you know, Beans had a problem, go, you know, pick Beans up with if some, you know, he have us on a jet with him, you know, talking to us direct, talking to me and GLC directly, you know, talking to me about GLC. With the film company, like, yo, we got to put out GLC album, you know, just kind of remind, you know, similar to what you were saying the last time we was talking about having, like, the real, you got to definitely say that Dame's a real.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and when he came over the crib and I just saw him, man, I missed him, man. I missed the good, I missed the bad, mm-hmm. Yeah, I missed, you know, all of that, because all of that is what created College Dropout. That tension, all of that is what created late registration. And we creating something new now in the fashion world and in the film world.
We realized the other day, we realized that you still have a love for music. And the reason I say that is I don't know who we were talking to. We were talking to Tyga, Ty Dolla $ign. And I heard a remix with so many different people. They was like, Kanye's in the studio working with everybody.
You've always got the new guys.
Always have the new
guys.
That
may not even be next in the studio with you. It's like you keep your ear to the street.
Yeah. They, you know, I have to work, you know, like, I think a lot of times people get rich, people get comfortable, people fall in love and everything. I went to this Drake concert in Germany. I flew to the concert to go see it. Mm-hmm. And he got this one line where he say, like, something about people be falling in love with famous girls and da-da-da, and then they don't be working as much. And he rapped it, and then when he rapped, he knew I was in the concert. You like, look down and stuff.
too in love with fashion and women or something like that.
Yeah, like that. But, you know, he was right. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I got to get on my job, and that's why I got on the end of that bless. Hello, I'm back. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, we back in the studio. It's times that, you know, I got to go pick my daughter up and take her to, you know, dance class in the morning and just... you know, I try to create a regiment. But at least if I go to studio like 6 hours a day, and it's funny because when I first sat with Tyga, like me and Virgil seen Tyga at the Balmain store, and we knew he was fresh. You know, certain people, they have a certain talent with clothing. Tyga, ASAP Rocky, that's the thing. Certain people got certain talent with the bars and shit. Young Thug, Big Sean, you know. And I sat in the studio with, it was me, Thug, Sean, Travis, Tyga, and I was just saying how we gotta bring our resources together. We have to see how we can help each other to make each other way fresher, share information, build, have ciphers, like back in the Wu-Tang era, like people used to have ciphers. So last night when I was working on All Day at Q-Tip's house, it was like me, Vic Mensa, Q-Tip, and we was building on culture. Instead of trying to write bars, we built on that. And then I started writing the bars. Then they started coming, and we just started bouncing ideas off each other. So with me, you know, I'm only a humble servant. You know, if you have power, you have to empower. You have the power to get power away, where I said on the word song power. No one man should have all that power is a true statement. No one man has the power. The power is in the people. The people give you the power. The people chose me to be the people's champ. And as soon as I go up, talk about me, you lose that. And then you got next generations. You got, no matter how hard I try, Drake is going to speak to a generation in a way that I might not have been at that same basketball game he was at, that same high school game, watched that same TV show, went to that same club. Tyga's going to speak to a certain, Big Sean's going to speak to a certain generation. And it's important for a revolution, like Common said on that song he just won for. It's the youth and the OGs have to come together. You need the energy of the youth. You need the knowledge of the OGs.
That's why the Bible, old men for counsel, young men for war.
Yeah, that's why I sit with Puff. I sit with Dame. I sit with Jay. I sit with Farrakhan. And I talk to the OGs and try to, you know, figure out how we can help each other. You know?
Now with Tyga, mentioning Tyga, you're executive producing his album. Yeah. You feel like his relationship with your sister-in-law is inappropriate?
I think that that's a good question right there. You know what I'm saying? I think he got in early. I think he was smart.
I told him he's redshirting him. And I said, that's a great redshirt prospect. And let's be clear, Russell was 35 when he met Kamora. She was 17.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I don't, you know.
They close.
But I'm from the South too, though. So
they closer in age than a lot of relationships that I know. You know,
he's 25. She'll be 18 in August. Like,
yeah, I knew Tyga was smart. You know,
that's what he. No. Tyga came up here though and said they were just friends. I mean, that's what he's supposed to say, but.
Yeah, I can't speak on. I can't speak on nobody's relationship.
Thank you, Yay. We appreciate that a whole lot, Yay.
Your album. What kind of album are we getting? What should we expect?
Bars, songs, you know, cookout, music that just feels good. You know, like my last album was a protest of music. I was like, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
All right.
If y'all ain't going to let me play, I want to play it, do clothes and do this. Y'all and stuff like that. Yeah, start shooting the ball real slow. But somebody be at the free throw for a long time. That was my whole album and stuff. Like, I don't even got no music. I just let y'all have a little music on Bound, but that was it. But this album is just embracing the music, embracing, you know, joy, and just making, you know, being of service to the people. You know, I just hope that people like it and enjoy it, you know? That's it.
Now, listen, you mentioned Minister Farrakhan.
Yeah.
Now, I also saw you say, when you was at the backstage at the Grammys, you said you didn't want to speak too much because you didn't want to jeopardize your clothing line. But a lot of people don't like to stand next to the minister because they feel like he jeopardizes their business. Why are you not afraid to, you know, show your relationship with the minister?
You know, it's interesting because I actually asked for the minister to give me my BET Visionary Award, and he felt like it wasn't the right time. And maybe for reasons just like that. You know, right now I'm working on a documentary with him about him and about his music, you know, that he's a classically trained violinist. And he's also one of the most humane people. And now, you know, he got that stamp in the same way like how my wife was, you know, stamped with the sex tape. You know, the minister was stamped with the
bigotry.
Yeah. And it's important that while he's still alive, he has to see the people appreciate his message. Because if you ever hear him talk, it's about humanity. It's about one race. You know, as soon as you hear his name, I see people's faces like change. They have a perception. It's a lot that I can learn from him. You know, perhaps, maybe the minister mentioned Beck one too many times or something like that. And it's things I can learn in my path of how to always keep my communication as open as possible. Because right now it's right at that tip where it's like, yeah, we got to have him because, you know, he's going to bring some excitement to the Grammys and all that. But, you know, we're working on this documentary. And it's amazing. It shows that he had like a white violin instructor, but then he talked about, because, you know, he was black, how he couldn't get the white instructor, and there was no black instructors that can instruct him well enough. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he was asked to stop doing music. He had to choose between the nation mm-hmm. and music, and then how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked him to come in one day to play the violin. Mm-hmm. And he embraces his passion of music, and you know, it's just a beautiful story about a beautiful soul that's very misunderstood, and one of our most powerful, you know, messengers. Mm-hmm. And it's very important that we protect our messengers. It's very important that we support them. You know.
Yeah. The minister's very sharp. You think it's kind of confusing though when he'll say, you know, negative things about Jewish people, but then say we should learn from them. That's kind of a confusing message.
Oh, you could. Yeah, we definitely should learn from them. We should learn from us. I'm tired of the, you know, us and them. Us meaning we should learn from human beings. Right. Yeah, the first thing we're gonna do to, I think, stop racism and stop focusing on racism. And I understand that if somebody going to work right now that has a white boss that's talking down to them because mm-hmm. they're black. And I'm not trying to deny that, but I'm saying, we understand that people is different races. You know, it'd be like light skin against dark skin and stuff. It just slows down the conversation, man. You don't know. Like, I don't know if it's eight. Excuse me
it
for
makes
the statement.
Great jokes, though.
Yeah, it does.
Especially on the light skin.
Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I also, every people are human beings. So, everything this man says, when I talk to him, everything he says is pretty much correct. But I say, everything a person says is not going to be correct. You know, every move a person makes is not going to be well-timed, but sometimes those mistimed moves can inspire the next generation, like Pac used to say. He said, I might not change the world, but I'm inspiring somebody that changes the world. I think about, okay, I want to do surround vision. I want to do my movie theater. I want to do my clothing line. I want to do this. My goal is, man, maybe there's a four-year-old that's going to see that and cure cancer one day. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could keep, if your job is inspiration, you have to keep pushing that at all costs. Because you never know who's going to be inspired by that. And a lot of the reasons why I'm successful now is because the people who work with me now grew up on a college dropout. Mm-hmm. You know, before when I was going in years ago, everyone, they listen to rock. They like Bruce Springsteen. They like, they don't even know about the college dropout. Mm-hmm. So now they know what we brought to the table, and they want to be a part of this, this movement in a way.
Right. Now, last year when it was so much racial tension and, the police brutality and stuff, like, it's almost like people wanted you to say something. Were you purposely, you know, falling back from being vocal about the Mike Brown situations and things like that?
Yeah, my dad would email me and say, stay out of it. And now my dad is like 1,000 times smarter than me and 1,000 times more social than me. He like literally lived at a homeless shelter.
Right.
You know, and he emailed me and told me, stay out of it. That's my only parent, you know, so I have to listen to him.
Why? Well,
sometimes.
Why did he say that?
I think he's just trying to be protective of his son. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't run in front of every bullet. Mm-hmm. You know, I just can't run in front of every single bullet.
Is it in the music for this album, maybe?
Oh, yeah, we definitely, yeah. You know, I'm always going to, you know, talk about, you know, what's going on, like Marvin Gaye would say. It's definitely going
to
be in there.
How much of this album is done?
I think 80%. I'm trying to get it finished. I'm trying to get it to the people, you know, as soon as possible.
How are you going to release it? Is it going to be like a
surprise?
You can't have a release date. That's so, like,
or is it just
you can't do it. It's played out.
Yeah.
It's last year's fashion. You can't do it.
100% release dates is played out. So, yeah.
So the surprise is going to be a surprise. There goes a surprise.
No surprise.
Now, one thing the hood always wants to know, too, where did that soft whisper Michael Jackson voice come from? It debuted on the Kris Jenner show a couple years ago.
When did the hood want to know that? I never heard that.
And you use it sometimes. I don't know that the hood watches that show.
But.
You've used it in more than that setting. Where did that come from? Is that like a, I don't know, you're in a shell? I don't know.
Man, don't know. No, nobody wants, like, the worst thing, the thing that America doesn't want, okay, yeah, America and the world, they antagonize Black men, you know, because, you know, Black men aren't in their own country, you know, not in power, blah, blah, all this stuff. So you're constantly getting poked at. But the thing that they hate the most is the angry Black man, even though they can cause you to be angry. Mm-hmm. They hate that. And, you know, if you can just understand how to not get angry in a boxing match, you know, if you get angry, you lost.
Right.
You know, so this is a match of life, a match of culture. And if I'm angry all the time, I've already lost, you know, so I just need to stop being angry. And people say, yeah, what does he have to be angry about? I got enough to be happy about to focus on that, to not be angry about stuff. And plus, it helps me work better when I'm calm.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Now, Hood wants to know, this is a barbershop question. Does Beyonce and Kim have a problem? Because it seems like people pit them against each other all the time.
Does Beyonce and Kim have a problem?
No, they love each other. They respect each other. When Beyonce is working on an album, she has, like, pictures of Kim on the wall because Kim represents, you know, powerful women. You know, Kim is like be playing the what's the song? I know you care. What's that song called?
7-Eleven.
Yeah, 7-Eleven, right. Playing that video, playing it for our daughter. You know,
that's Kim's not the only picture on the wall, right?
No, some other. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm like, that's weird.
But it's definitely, you know, they definitely respect each other, but it's all you know, maybe there's a LeBron James Kobe element to it, but I ain't say that. But
but they're not even in the same lane. Like, Kim don't sing, and she's not an entertainer.
They're in the bad mommy lane.
Yeah. The
MILF lane, is that MILF. What you're trying to say?
I wasn't gonna say that. I'm not gonna. But they're in the bad. When it comes to raising
Northwest, does it concern you? Are you like, okay, you know, obviously she's gonna be spoiled because we're her parents. But does it concern you that you want to make sure she's, like, got some type of, you know, street sense or anything like that? Do you even think about that?
Yeah, she did. Her and her big, you know, my friends, we call them her uncles. Mm-hmm. Her uncle's definitely going to put on and definitely, you know, it's this toy. I wish I know. What's the name of the brand of the toy, Gabe? What's the name of the store we went to yesterday? Sweet William, they got these toys that my daughter got. Vanessa Beecroft that did the fashion show, she bought my daughter 3 wolves. And she saw these. Because I would see toys that people would see, and I'll be like, give her. I'm like, these toys is weak. She got to have better toys than this.
Right.
And sure enough, when she got these wolves from this toy store, she was going crazy. This is the happiest I ever seen her, right? Mm-hmm. So, of course, me, I'm going to go and buy every single toy there. And I was just having a conversation with my wife yesterday, like, okay, so we can't give her all these toys, though. Mm-hmm. Can't just walk in and just give all the toys at once. She's like, we'll just give them all for her birthday. Like, we can't give her, she can't even have everything for her birthday. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to, like, piece this out, you know. So I am very conscientious about the idea of someone being, you know, too spoiled. Because I think I've been spoiled in the past.
Where the song Wolves came from? Those wolves.
I'm always thinking about wolves for some reason. That's always been on my mind. Yeah.
Let's go back to Dame for a second.
I'm just going ahead and give y'all a sound bite that y'all want. I'm just going ahead and say it. Where the wolf song came from. The wolf song, I'm just going ahead and say it. And because maybe this will promote it happening. So I'm going to go ahead and put it out in the real world. The wolf song came from a conversation that me and Drake had where we was going to do an album together. And the album is called Wolves.
Jay would have been pissed off about that. Because when Jay came in, I asked Jay, would he ever do another album with an artist?
Yeah. He said no.
I said nah specifically. Yeah. He said no because me and Ye already started that.
Yeah, so, and that's what happened. Me and Jay started talking about Watch the Throne, and Drake went and did all the records with Wayne and did the tour, and we never did it. But I just went out and put it in the ether, I put it out in the world.
Right. So you ask
if y'all
Drake,
don't like it, then y'all can send it right back.
So you asked Drake to do an album?
Yeah, I asked him, and we talked about it, and he said, yeah, we was going to do it. And actually, you know, he was sending beats back and forth. Mm-hmm.
You know, I got this one record with Young Thug that I think we're going to put on Rihanna album. I know I'm giving a lot of information
That's
away
what
today.
You're here for. Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you.
We're excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, so let's talk about you and Dame. Does that affect you and Jay's relationship now?
Nobody's relationship affect any relationship. Mm. Everybody needs to just have a good relationship. You know, we all, I don't, you know, I you know, if anything, you know, we all helped each other at a certain point, and, you know, we all see each other at a certain point. Mm.
Do you and Jay still have a great relationship? Because, you know, you said that was your idol, but, you know, you work hard so your idols become your rivals.
Man, that's, I wouldn't be sitting here today, right now, if it wasn't Jay. Mm. Jay helped me, period, in every single way that you can think. You know, whether it was, like, holding me down when I'm in New York, I'm the dude with the pink polo and a bad attitude.
Yep.
And I'm still here.
Yep.
Jay-Z.
So is this Drake and Kanye album gonna happen?
I don't know. It might happen because I threw that out.
Don't do it, man.
You know, by the way, he probably be mad that I mentioned it on y'all show since
he
like
because
he dislikes y'all so much.
No, he hates, but, hates me. Okay, the big black bully over there.
So is it true that one time you was in a restaurant and some when you had the pink back in the pink polo days, some dudes in New York
Chelsea
was gonna
Diamond.
Rob you? What was it called?
Yeah.
Chelsea Diamond.
And Beanie came through with the pistol and held you down?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you may owe Beanie something for that?
I'm not gonna put out some you know, some let me see.
You ain't got media training. This is a new Ye. Yeah. Thinks about things.
He wants to know. I feel like you don't want to say something that could be a misconstrued.
This is a new Ye.
Beans might still be on, you know, on the papers. Let me think about how I'm going to say this one.
Okay, I know this is going to sound like a somewhat politically correct answer, like one of these politician type answers, okay. But, you know, I owe every hip-hop artist in a way. And I don't mean for you to come to, you know, house the street and stand in front of my apartment and be like, ask for beats or a verse or something like that. But, you know, I owe hip hop, you know, just like saying like Ben Horowitz is like the only VC out in San Fran that like believes in rap. You know, he gave Nas a piece of, you know, Rap Genius and all that. You know, he used to be in a rap group. But, you know, we all owe hip hop. And I believe that I do have the ability that I believe that I'm a be the head of the first $1 trillion company. Mm-hmm. And 100%, when I get to that point, you know, no rapper would ever have to worry about anything again. Mm-hmm. You know, my plan is to be coming one by one. Big Daddy Kane, come to his crib, you know, everybody crib. And you know how to
hip hop reparations.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Forrest Gump moment. After they like, you know, when it got Apple and it came to everybody, like I owe every, you know, hip hop artists because I wouldn't have made it this far without all of them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Look at my daughter's name. You know, that's hip hop. Mm-hmm. Her name's Nori. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So you did name your daughter after Nori.
No, there's an element of that.
Nori,
in
here. Nori are the only one. Nori was tweeting. I think he's talking about his daughter. Like Nori thought for a moment.
No,
he did. Nori tweeted that. No.
Only one has nothing to do with Noriega.
I didn't think so. Let's
hope not.
It don't have nothing to do with Noriega whatsoever. The everything else in my life does.
Okay. Let's talk about some of your artists for a second. Like you got a close relationship with Drake.
Yeah.
But at one point, Pusha T and Drake had a little issue. Yeah. And you know, Pusha was hurt because you came out at OVO Fest.
Yeah, we got over it.
Kanye, new Kanye, I'm telling you.
Now Tiana Taylor, what's going on with her?
She put out an amazing album.
Mm-hmm.
She's your artist, but she's very talented. But it seems like you don't support her, like you don't stand by her, like you should maybe.
You know what? I don't support her enough. I need to do more. I need to rap on some remixes. I need to go shoot some videos. A lot of times, it just, you know, when you're focusing on clothing, you focus on your family, you're focusing on all these different things, you know, it's hard to put all the focus, you know, but Yeah, I do need to put some more focus on it. I haven't put enough focus to it.
You are a true Gemini. 2 weeks ago, you was bum rushing the stage, calling out Beck, far from humble, and now you're just like humble as can be right now.
Like I tell you, it seems like love for the music. Like he brought out Fetty Wap when he was performing at his show. Who's a Jersey artist that's pretty new, and it's telling me that you're back to that element of music again. And that's what people are excited about.
Yeah, and I was able to get... You know what's so funny? It's like right after I did the fashion show, I went to go shoot the Blessings video with Drake and Sean, and I was so happy. Mm-hmm. I was so happy to be able to go do that. And I used to be resentful of having to do music. Mm-hmm. But because I was able to... Now I could take a piss, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like somebody tell you just do one, you know?
I usually piss first, but I feel you what you're saying.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just happy to just... keep creating and just inspire people through joy and accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And like with the Adidas thing, they gave me a little bit of oxygen. Like I couldn't breathe. I was looking at a person suffocating. Mm-hmm. I got some ideas out. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's 10%, 5% of what I really want to do. Like I want to be supported by Disney in the same way how Adidas supported me. I want Disney Imagineering to support my ideas. And the same energy that Fashion Week had and that same Front Row and all that, Bob Iger, I'm telling you, I'm a bring that. I know, you know, right now our brands might not mix, but like I'm a family man. Thank you for Frozen. That's like a second nanny, you know? So.
Yeah. Now,
you've been very reluctant, though, to call yourself a designer. At what point will you say, I am a designer? Do you feel like there is going to be a point or you're just a creator?
I think, I don't even know if it's a, I don't even want to give myself any form of a title anymore. I'm not calling myself a genius. I'm not calling myself a visionary, any title. Only thing I can say to it is I'm a servant. You know, I want to serve. And if I can get a group of amazing designers together to create something to be able to serve the public, then that's my job. I'm just a humble servant.
How do we know you're telling us the truth and you're not just being politically correct because of your corporate connects?
Well, you know, I'm never politically correct. You know, I'm just speak from my heart of exactly where I'm at that time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, recently you said that when you first got with Kim, you lost a lot of friends. Yeah. Why was that? And who? Who were your friends that you lost?
You know, when I said that in the interview, I said so-called friends.
Yeah, those are just your fashion people that you were getting to know.
Yeah, getting to know that, you know, it's all this, should we let them sit at the table? Should we not let them sit at the table? But there were some people in fashion that did stand by us, this group. Kareem Rothfield, as Ricardo Tisci, that, you know, even Anna Wintour, they were part of the anti Kim Ye move. You know, they were standing in the on the front line when there was an anti Kim Ye movement. And now they're here any meeting, any dinner they have, they'll be like, man, see, I told y'all I was the ones that was, you know, like Ricardo dressed her, Kareem put her on a magazine, Anna put her on a magazine. So that statement was a little bit out of context because it wasn't everybody, you know, but there was a lot of people. And so be it. They was wrong and we was right.
Do you hold grudges or are you cool to work with people even after that?
You just know they fake. You know how to deal with them.
Yeah, I don't hold no. Yeah, I don't. I've never held a grudge anyway.
You know, you see, he's back here.
Right.
They said after you left this day, you were really flustered. I know you went to go see Sway, and a lot of people were saying y'all messed up his whole day after the interview with the Breakfast Club.
That was beautiful, man. At least that happened. Like, you know, at least the house Sway. I know you was mad that you ain't get that part right there, but it's like
you got me. You ain't got the answer.
You got the answer, Charlamagne. Yeah, that was a good one though.
You got me souped up and stuff. You charged me up for that joint, but you know it's like he really didn't have the answers. You know that was incorrect. That was incorrect what he was saying. You know, I could have said it in a calmer way, but he was misinformed.
But I think you know the only thing I was saying last time was like those fashion people don't love you. Yeah. So it's like, why ask them for help? You Kanye. And as you can see, you're doing pretty okay for yourself.
Well, I needed that help because still now I got like one of my head designers worked at Margiela for a while. One of the girl worked on the shoes worked at Celine. You know, I've been pulling that talent from a place that was only for the $4,000 jacket lines to a place that we're going to be delivering shoes at $200, $100. We might get some shoes down to $60. I mean, we about to flip this whole thing on its head. It's a new idea of a apparel, and they got information, and I had to ask them. I had to be humble. I had to beg to go to dinners, and I had to explain to them why, you know, why should we work with you? Yay, how we know you just not, you know, another celebrity is going to wear a red leather jacket, or you going to diss us in public, or you going, you know, and it's been a long journey, and now we gained some ground, and I can give some, you know, dope shit to the people. But these people are knowledgeable, man. They went to the Yale of, you know, of fashion.
Humbly speaking, these are the experts, and you're trying to learn from them to get better at in the fashion world.
Yeah, I hate when people be talking about, I just designed a restaurant. I just designed. You be like, man, it looked like you designed this restaurant, man. You...
Did you get backlash from E when you told Terrence, Jay, and Chloe, take the E logos off? The Kardashians own a percentage of this.
That was turnt. I'm really happy I did that, man. That was, like, really ignorant, you know? That was,
did E get backlash? Like, Chris, control your son.
Yeah, because they was happy because they got more ratings. And by the way, my opinion from someone that's knowledgeable, you know, what's offensive to me is, you know, overbranding all that. That's too much, man. That's not futuristic, man. That's in the now and in the past. They got to be forward, man. We got to promote forward ideas, man, because beauty is important. If beauty was important, you know, my wife wouldn't be so famous. You know,
she don't get insulted when you say that?
What?
Like, if I heard you say that at the after party. It was like, if it wasn't for beauty, the Kardashians wouldn't be famous. If I said that could come off as insulting.
But they beautiful. You know what I mean? People want to be that beautiful? You know,
but they don't
like,
have anything else, brains.
Obviously, they connect to some business sense because they all, you know, successful family and all, you know, multimillionaires. And one thing I think about with me is look how long it's taken me to turn any of my friends to a multimillionaire. Kim did it like that. She did it out the gate. She was like, oh, you going to take Chloe? You going to take Courtney? We're going to take Courtney's boyfriend. We're going to take the kids. We're going to take this, and we all going to be millionaires like that. You know, like, reality is like rap. It's so futuristic. It's the new, you know, like, my wife is a visionary at the end of the day. Like, SNL want to make skits and be like, what did you do? I don't know nobody else that is successful at what she's doing as her.
Now, I only got a couple more questions. Was only one therapeutic for you? Like, did it bring you to tears in the studio? Maybe.
Oh yeah, 100%. And it brought my wife to tears. Anybody I play it for, and people ask me why did I go Only One Over All Day? Well, Only One made me feel like me. It made me feel like this was the song I had to play, you know, back at the studio of Cameron and Jip Jones and whoever played 30, you know, Dipset records.
Right.
What am I going to play to be the pink polo? What am I going to play that's going to stand out? What point do I have? That was my problem, my issue I had once I got, which I love Cruel Summer. I think it's amazing. But I felt like I started sort of, you know, blending in with the pack in a way, you know, with a record like Click, which is a great Click. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a great song. We still perform it. But it's important for me to innovate. And even like with Drake, I think he'll tell you, it's like, it's important to have a Yeezus album. It's important to have whatever this next thing is because, you know, he can, you need vibes from all directions. You need innovators. My job in life is to innovate. I think The Only One is an innovative record. I think 4-5 is an innovative record. I think Wolves is a less innovative, but it's the third proposition this year off the album. If Wolves sounds like, you know, 808's a bit, it sounds like signature Kanye post 808s Drake world, you know, record. That's a run on. You got a proper run on, so you can say you understand what I'm talking about.
The record sounds so personal, and
personal.
And this may sound crazy, but like my grandmother, who I love dearly, she was my second mom. She passed away, and I had a dream about it, and it was like she was talking to me in my dream. So I wonder if you had like a vision of your mother speaking to you, maybe that caused that record.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I didn't realize. I said, and I didn't even know exactly. It's literally like those movies you see where it's like somebody talking to you. I murmured that, and I realized after the fact, I said, only one. And my name, Kanye, my mother named me that. It means only one. That's the meaning of my name. Then after the song was out, my cousin, Abigail, which I promise I got you some shoes. I'm looking for a size 6. They run a little bit big, but said, you know that our grandmother, my mom, used to say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord our soul to keep before she put me to bed. And my grandmother actually named me Omari, which is the first line, hello, Mari. So I realized at that point that they were both talking to me. It wasn't just my mom that my grandmother was speaking to me. So you get these generations. So right now I'm working on a video game for Only One. And the idea is it's my mother going through the gates of heaven. And you got to bring her to the highest gates of heaven by holding her to the light. And, you know, we've been working on it for like 6 months. So
is that why you kept the lights low at the Grammys? Because that was the first time you performed it, you thought you might break down?
I didn't like, it was supposed to be more smoke on it, and the practice version was better, and I wasn't completely satisfied with the visuals on the Grammys. You know, that's why I turned up on the SNL visuals. Mm-hmm. I was like, I ain't playing. They gotta know I'm not playing. These visuals gotta hurt. They gotta, yeah.
But working with Paul McCartney, I read an article where they compare you to John Lennon. Has Paul McCartney ever said anything to you about that?
Nah, but we talk about any and everything. But I do think that there's like the angst that I feel, the angst that I feel from the world, the angst that I feel from what people are going through in Chicago, what people are going through financially, the angst, what people are going through with just, I feel like John felt like that. And when I got past the Gucci store and got past how cool my jacket was, mm-hmm. I finally was, like the song says, the man I always knew you could be. When I became like a protector, a dad, a husband, I finally, could stand up and stand for something.
Right.
You know?
But we appreciate you joining us, man.
The new improved media train. Yay!
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We appreciate you joining us. I'm glad you came back.
Yeah. Happy to be here.
I think he's going back. And Charlamagne, man.
I love that this started so different. He loves
absolutely.
Your new songs.
Calm a guy, humble a guy.
Well, listen, when I gave him Donkey Day last time, what did I say? I said a guy that's so easy to like, but he makes it hard to want to like him. But just a couple of antics, but that's part of being human, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's Kanye West. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.